Hi, this is Tim Bilecki, managing partner of Bilecki & Tapan, and I'm here with a colleague of mine, Michael Waddington. And one of the questions that we get asked a lot is how to avoid a false allegation of sexual assault. Because the reality is false allegations do occur. They happen a lot, especially in the military. But we see trends that happen over and over and over, because oftentimes people say, well, I've been on this earth 20, 30, 40 years. I've never been falsely accused, and I have other people who get falsely accused. So there are a few things that you can avoid, which will probably limit your exposure to false allegations. And if you limit that exposure to false allegations, then you don't have to potentially run the risk of going to a court martial, run the risk of having a criminal trial, and then importantly, running the risk of a wrongful conviction against you for a crime you didn't commit. So oftentimes these come down to just decisions that you make. They come down to life choices. And while some of them may be common sense, we see a trend and a pattern of over and over and over the same scenarios happen, which can lead to a false accusation. Mike, are you seeing the same thing?
Absolutely. And this is something that my wife Alexandra and I are law partners. We have a son who's now 19 years old. He's an E-4 in the United States Army Reserve. And before he went to boot camp when he was 17. We beat these into his head, okay? And we're not talking in this video about people that are being actually accused of a crime they committed. We're talking about a false allegation. And the things that we warn young men for, and old men, and any man out there, and my son in particular, and things we see in a lot of these cases are very much common sense, but people often don't use common sense. I mean, for example, if you meet someone at a bar or anywhere and they start telling you about the past three or four boyfriends or husbands and how those people were so bad, they were raping them, they were beating them, and they're just a poor abuse victim, and that's something they're telling you about, especially if it's early on, you need to run away. Almost every false allegation we get, there are red flags left and right, and the person is usually a consummate victim, like their husband abused them, their past husband abused them, they've been raped. I mean, their entire life, they're a victim. If you do anything wrong to that person, or just don't want to even be with them, you don't have to do anything wrong, you're probably going to get falsely accused somewhere along the line. You've run a high risk. That's one of the things. What else? Give me some more ideas or some more examples of what you see that lead to false allegations.
Yeah, if you're in the bar and you're drinking with someone and you've had a lot to drink and she is so drunk, she is stumbling or can't control her alcohol, and you see a wedding ring on her finger, probably it's a good time to walk away. So if you're in the bar, I don't care how attractive she is or he is, and they're drinking and that person, they're flirting, and you look down and there's a wedding ring. Now, you may have one as well. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge. But the reality is, if the person you're trying to hook up with the bar is intoxicated, they're drinking, they're flirting with you, and they have a wedding ring, walk away. Because what can happen is you can have completely consensual sex that night. And I'm not the morality police. I'm not judging the right or wrong, my personal beliefs aside. But the next morning, a husband or a wife or a spouse can find out. And oftentimes that can lead to a false allegation of sexual assault. So again, if you're at the bar and you're drinking and a girl or a guy is flirting with you and they're married, walk away.
Or if they have a boyfriend. So many of our cases start when the boyfriend either physically walks in or finds out. And it doesn't have to be the next day. You know, if you have hook up with someone while you're TDY and they have a boyfriend or girlfriend or they're married, 2 years down the road, if the wife finds out, guess what? Statute of limitations is 5 years. You're facing a sex assault charge 2, 3, 4 years later. And how do you defend yourself against something that happened while TDY 3 years ago in Honolulu and there are no witnesses? It comes down to whether or not the jury believes the person, and they could convict you. So also, don't have sex with people that are super drunk. Just if you don't know them, don't have sex with them. And many of these young soldiers and sailors and airmen, marines, are you crazy, Mr. Waddington? Who do you think? This is the modern era. You're darn right it is. And sexual assault allegations, false ones particularly, are a big part of the modern era. So you don't have to listen to me, but I don't think you want to have to retain either one of us to defend you when, if you use common sense, you could have avoided it. So those are two great points, Tim. And here's another one. If you're in the military, don't have sex with someone in your unit. And if you outrank them, well, just don't have sex with anyone outrank either. Those are two other big things. You have sex with someone in your unit and you outrank them, you're probably going to catch some sort of sex assault or sexual harassment charge or allegation. Even if it's false, it's going to ruin your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another one I see. Don't have sex with someone you meet on Whisper or on another dating app. And while we can say in the modern world, people meet on Tinder, on Bumble, on Whisper, but when you meet them, and oftentimes, this is obviously common sense, but they may say they're 14 or they're 15, and you may see a picture of someone who's 21, 22. Well, let me tell you what, NCIS and CID, they run these sting operations where they will show you a picture of a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old, and they'll throw into the conversation that they're in high school or that they're 14. And common sense, I'm like, you and me said, we're going to walk away right away as soon as we see that. But I have Marines, I have sailors, I have airmen, I have service members across the board who just go show up to these people's houses and meet them and say, well, I saw a picture, I thought they were 21, 22, and then they get arrested and they get charged. Now, one of the things you can do is don't hook up with someone you just met on an anonymous app like Whisper. There are plenty of ways to meet people, and Tinder's fine, Bumble's fine, there are other apps that can be fine, but do some due diligence and don't do it on some anonymous site where you're going to meet them and it's sketchy. Because if it sounds sketchy, let me clue you in, it actually is.
Yeah, these are common sense things, but in the past year I represented an E8 in the Special Forces that showed up to hook up with someone that he met on one of these, and I also represented a naval officer that did the same thing, and it was both set up sting operations. And standing back and looking at it, you think you'd have known better, but that's great. That's a great tip, Tim. Here's another one, and this is kind of politically incorrect. But don't have sex with people that are crazy, man. Don't do it. Don't have sex with someone that is mentally unstable. I have 06s that do it. I have E9s and E1s, and I have O1s. But they meet someone that is they know is mentally ill, that sometimes they've accused other people, but they're on a bunch of psychotropic drugs, and they'll start dating the person and having sex with them. And then combine that with my next tip, and you see this a lot. I know you do, because I do. And then you mistreat them or you lead them on. Like, don't lead people on that are crazy, that have falsely accused people in the past, that are vindictive, and or mistreat them, because you're going to be falsely accused of sexual assault. At a minimum, if you're going to violate all these rules we mentioned, don't kick the woman out of the house as soon as you finish in the middle of the cold in her stocking feet and tell her she's a dirty whore and throw her out. Because guess what?
Yeah, because then the allegations are going to come against you. And another one, if you're married, don't mess around on your wife. If you're married and you're married and miserable, right, then get a divorce, get a separation. But if you're going to go mess around on your wife, then what I see people do is they'll have a girlfriend in the Philippines. They'll have a girlfriend, and this being in Hawaii, a lot of clients, and they may be an E1 all the way to an O6. They may have girlfriends in the Philippines. They don't think their wife knows about it, but their spouse is a lot smarter than you think. They're using these apps, sending money, sending flowers, and then they lead these women on in the Philippines. And I'm not picking on the Philippines. It's something that we see a lot here in Hawaii. And they don't tell them they're married. They don't tell them they have kids. And these women in the Philippines expect to maybe come to the U.S., expect some type of engagement. And then they're being led on. Then the spouse finds out. And then all of a sudden, a disaster occurs. All of a sudden, then the spouse thinks make an allegation of sexual assault, okay, because they're vindictive or they're upset. And maybe they have a reason to be upset. But all of this can be avoided by, if you're married, don't have an extramarital relationship. And it just goes back to common sense. If you're married and miserable, stop. Work out the issue and get a divorce. Don't go mess around on your spouse, because if you do, it could all come back to haunt you. And as you said, Mike, these are common sense things. Looking at it from someone who's now in my 40s, I've got 3 children, I'm very happily married. These all look like common sense things. And people watching this may say, hey, Tim, no kidding. But you would be shocked at the amount of calls I get and you get every single day. And we get 40, 50, sometimes 80 inquiries a month for service members that want us to represent them. And they all have these same themes. And I'm often saying, hey, if you would have just taken some of this initial advice at the beginning, you wouldn't need to hire us now, because it may very well be a false accusation, but now you have to defend your freedom. It's going to cost you $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to go defend your freedom. And you're going to have to go through an entire trial. And oftentimes these are very tough cases to defend, because they come down to credibility. And if you lose, you go to prison. And your life is forever changed, all for something that, if you look at it, say, is it worth it? I'm in the bar, you see this girl, she may be good looking or not, or you're with this girl, and whatever the issue is, you have to say, is it worth potentially going to prison over and being a registered sex offender for a false allegation because you put yourself in a really bad situation. You might not have committed the crime, but you put yourself in an incredibly bad position.
I completely agree with you, Tim. Here's another little tip. Again, not politically correct, but I see this a lot. Don't have sex or get involved with a victim advocate. Don't do it. And many of you are probably putting a negative dislike on YouTube. Fine. You're going to be next calling my office. So many of these people that are so victim-oriented, they're in the Me Too movement. Everybody's a victim. They're a victim, and they're volunteering to help victims. And you're the idiot that starts dating them and having sex with them. Guess what, buddy? Whenever you dump them, your ass is going on the Me Too list, and you're going to lose your career. I see that so often. And they tell me, but I'm against sexual assault, and she's against sexual assault, so we'll make a... That's a good couple. Well, nobody's for sexual assault, first of all, that I know of. I mean, I'm sure there are a few. But the bottom line is you get someone who devotes their life towards helping alleged victims. And in military, a lot of them are fake victims and fake allegations. And their career, their life is devoted to that. And they teach this stuff. And they're the ones teaching one drink, you can't consent. They're the ones forcing and trying to get people to make allegations. Why would you have sex with someone like that? Why would you? I mean, you could do it if you want, but do it at your own peril. I've had several clients like that in the past year. They're like, oh, she's the victim advocate for the unit. Oh, go figure. And usually it's a combination, Tim. And it's the victim advocate, and you outrank her, and she's told you her past five boyfriends raped her, and she's drunk at the bar, and you're married or she's married, and, you know, all these things combined. It's usually not one of these things. It's usually, and then you mistreated her, or you refuse to leave your wife for her, or her boyfriend walked in. The more of these factors we're discussing that you add to the equation, the more likely that you're going to be falsely accused.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually not just one or two things. It's three or four that we see, and they pile on. But the interesting thing is you have the power to make decisions, because no one can make these decisions but you. And you have to look at the people you associate with. And I always put people into two kind of categories. And maybe life isn't just that binary, but if you look at people around you, they're either victims or victors, right? People that are victims, everything they're a victim of. They don't make enough money, so their employer doesn't pay them enough. They're in debt. Maybe they can't manage their money. Whatever, they can't get a promotion. Well, maybe it's someone else's fault, right? So people are always victims of everything that happens around them. And those are the type of people I try to stay away from. People that everything's a problem, everything's someone else's problem. I like to associate myself with victors, people that look at problems and then say, how do we solve this problem? I'm not going to be a victim of society. I make my own decisions. I make my own choices. So if the person that you're with or that you're sleeping with, if you can put them into that victim pile and not the victor pile, it's probably someone you want to walk away from, because long term in your career, I don't care how good the weekend is with her or him or how good the night is, long term it's going to fail you. And the bigger problem is when these things happen, when we get these calls, people's lives change fundamentally. Then they have to call you or they call me to represent them. And now the stress really piles on, and the weight on their shoulders is immense. You see it. You see these people who are doing amazing things in their life, maybe making bad decisions, but then they come into our office and they're broken, because now they feel the weight of the government on them, and they're now facing 5, 10, 20, 30 years in prison over an offense they didn't commit, albeit they put themselves in a bad situation. And so that's where you and I come in, to have to walk the walk with these individuals, these service members, and get them through the process, get them through the court martial, and be able to explain to a jury that my client, they might not have made the best decisions going forward. It may not be decisions that you would have made, but they're absolutely innocent of these charges. And that's a skill that someone like you or someone like me has to do, and happy to do it. We do it all the time, but they're just so freaking preventable. And I'd much rather have someone make a good decision up front than have to go through hell and back with you or I to get them acquitted. And we're gonna do another follow-on video where we talk about why these alleged victims who are making false allegations are so believable, why there's a system that's put in place to make people very, very believable when they're actually not, and why that's such a challenge for trial lawyers.
And Tim, you know what? One of the problems is people say, they're false allegations. This should be easy to win, right? No, because the person that's making the allegation that you had sex with while they're drunk, while they're married, that's crazy, that's a consummate victim, they're very credible. And so they'll take the stand, and people will be like, oh my God, your guy did rape her. And we're thinking, oh, geez, why would she make this up? And so it's actually very difficult to take down someone that believes they're a victim and has gone through their whole life as a victim. at least in their mind, because they know the right things to say. They're going to talk about PTSD. They're very convincing. Like some of these very negative people that are consummate victims, they're very convincing to someone who is unskilled. So the jury might not have ever dealt with someone like this. And they're like, how could someone really cry on the witness stand for 2 hours and describe these acts that your terrible client committed and lie about it? A human would never do that. So you don't want to be in this situation. You want to avoid it, but it's not easy to win a case. It requires a lot of skill to take down someone that is a trained liar, and some of them actually believe that they're telling the truth. And they're very convincing.
But the reality is there are so many opportunities to prevent a false accusation. If a false accusation's happened to you already, you can't go back in time. You may say, you know, Tim, you know, Mike, you're absolutely right. I put myself in this situation, but I didn't do this. At that point in time, you need to get serious representation, get someone who knows these factors, that knows how to see through the BS, that knows how to win these cases at trial. You can't go back and, you know, regret. You may have regrets, but don't put yourself in the victim category. Put yourself in the victor category. Because when you come into my office, when you get on the phone with me or get on the phone with you, Mike, I want someone that wants to win more than I do. I don't want someone that says, oh, the Army's screwing me. They're screwing me. I'm going to go to jail. I want someone that's going to come in and say, you know, sir, I've made some really bad decisions. I didn't do what I'm accused of, and I don't care what it's going to take, but I'm going to fight this with all I have. That's the client that I'm going to represent. That's the client, Mike, when I get 10 or, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 calls in a week, all want to represent me. And I can only take on so many cases. I want that individual who is also not going to be a victim, but it's going to be a victor, because I don't like representing people who it's everyone else's problem but their own. Let's come together, solve the problem, get serious about it, and go win this thing.
Yeah, Tim, that's really what this is about. When we get hired on a case, a lot of people, they're beaten down, they're victims, they have PTSD. I'm talking about the person being accused. I understand you might be depressed. You should be depressed and at least upset if you are being accused of a crime you didn't commit. But you need to change your attitude and come in with a warrior's mentality of, if we're gonna go down, we're gonna go down swinging. And that, with the warrior mentality, if you come out swinging and come out aggressively and fight, then you have a much higher chance of winning the case and beating the allegations and continuing on with your life. Because I don't like representing people, me the same as you, that are negative, they're always complaining, that are, you know, it's everybody else's fault. Because the fact is, these things don't happen in a vacuum. There's usually a lot of bad decisions that are made that lead up to a false allegation, and you need a lawyer to be able to battle your way out of that. And what we don't need is someone who's just calling and complaining every day. You need someone with a positive winner's attitude, because that person also makes a much better and more convincing witness on the witness stand if they testify in their own defense. So that about wraps up this episode of the Military Law News Network. Until next time, I'm Michael Waddington with Tim Bilecki.